A pregnancy ended by miscarriage can be a traumatic loss. The emotional impact can take longer to heal than the physical recovery. There is no right or wrong way to feel about it. On today's podcast, Selena Casey, founder of Baby Loss Support NI, explains how her own experiences of miscarriage empowered her to reach out and create a platform to support people with a shared experience. Selena, welcome to Memory of Me podcast.
Hello,
How are you? How's things?
Thank you for having me. Things are good.
Good, good.
Very good.
And listen, I'm really, we'll touch on it a wee while, but I'm really sorry for your loss of your daddy too as well.
Because
I know we were meant to record a couple of weeks ago. But as I said, we'll talk about that more near the end. But,
absolutely.
We'll be thinking about him today too as well throughout the podcast.
Yeah.
So Selena, I have on today, she runs the Baby Loss NI Group, isn't that right?
Baby Loss Support Network.
And she is a mental wellbeing advisor too as well. And now you're going to be a trainee. You're our trainee counsellor now. You're going to be qualifying in June.
Qualifying in June and hoping to specialise in baby loss. So we'll talk a wee bit probably throughout this about that. But yes.
Brilliant.
After 4 years, and I never thought it would come to an end, but
we're nearly there,
and it's so close, and I cannot wait to not study for a while.
No, and you know what? I've had so many messages too as well about miscarriage and baby loss. I put a feedback box there not that long ago out, and a lot of people wanted, not to have that taboo subject around miscarriage and baby loss too as well. So I know this episode will be powerful to men and women too as well.
Absolutely.
With this type of loss. Because I think sometimes the men do be forgotten about this. So I suppose we'll talk about that throughout that too as well. So Selena, can you give the viewers a little quick background on who you are?
So my name is Selena Casey. I am from I was brought up in a wee town, South Derry, called Kilrae. Went to school, primary school in St. Columbus and Kilrae, then moved to Loretta College in Coleraine.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on to study business in Ballymena Tech, arsed about, acted a maggot for a while.
as we all do in our 20s.
Then started working in the civil service. I remember years ago, one of my friends, you know the way you're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
And one of my friends at school had said to me, my mummy's a civil servant. And I thought, that sounds quite posh.
I want to be that.
Well, little did I know what that entailed. There's absolutely nothing posh about it. But anyway, have worked in the civil service now 20 odd years. And
good job.
Do you know what? I love the job I'm in at the minute. I could say absolutely nothing about it. I moved to the role that I'm in the week of lockdown.
Okay.
Which was crazy.
Uh-huh.
So there's like so many people in my work I haven't even met yet because I've been working from home.
Aye.
But that being said, it's a lovely job, lovely employer. They're not like mainstream civil service. Civil service a wee bit. And so then, anyway, I started up in civil service. And then I met my husband. I don't even know when that was, but we're married 15 years. And we're really, really lucky. We've two boys now. They're mad.
Aye.
Absolutely mad.
Yeah. What ages?
7 and 9.
Yeah.
So I think whenever I found out then that I was pregnant last year, it was such a big shock for everybody, you know. And we wanted it that way.
Aye.
Because I suppose everybody kind of thought that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Mason is the youngest, he's 7. And to be honest with you, had lockdown not have happened,
mm-hmm.
that might have been it.
Yeah.
It might have been us finished, because I was working in Belfast. Shane is a bricklayer, so he's everywhere over the country, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at a point, like, we were just working to pay for childcare. So there was no point, like.
No.
And I suppose at that time, another baby just wasn't on the cards. And then lockdown happened, and we were like, well, do you know what? We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see.
How was each pregnancy? If you could maybe tell us a wee bit of like how each pregnancy was for
right.
you. So you had four pregnancies all together?
Four pregnancies all together. So first and foremost, so we got married in 2007 and Max didn't come along until 2012.
Yeah.
So we had a tough time conceiving Max.
Okay, right.
Which is really, like, not a lot of people know this, but basically what happened was we were referred for IVF.
Okay.
Because it just wasn't happening naturally. Right. And we were referred for IVF. And Bruna, this, like, so many people are shocked by this, but, like, literally,
mm-hmm.
it was, I'll never forget it. It was the Friday around Valentine's Day. And for some reason, we were booked in for IVF on the Monday.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I thought, I'm just going to do a pregnancy test here and see. And I bought the pregnancy test in Coleraine. By the time I got home from Coleraine, it was like 5:30 or something. Forgot I had it.
Yeah.
And because by that point, you're so used to doing them.
Yeah.
Like, it just becomes a chore.
Yeah.
Like, you see, when you're trying to conceive and you're constantly doing ovulation sticks, it becomes really draining. But anyway, I'd forgot I had the pregnancy test. And I thought, oh, I'll just go and do it. And I done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pregnant. And I was booked in for IVF on the Monday morning.
My God.
I said to Shane, we don't even have time to cancel this appointment so somebody else can get it.
Yeah.
Like, because the place would have been closed.
Yeah.
And I was like, I actually can't believe this.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what? My whole pregnancy with Max was absolutely brilliant. We went 10 days over with him. They brought me into the hospital to induce me 10 days over.
Natural?
No. So they induced me.
Yeah.
And the plan was that I was absolutely against the section, never right going down. To happen, blah, yeah. blah, blah. 36 hours on, and I had to go for an emergency section.
Oh, God.
Because it was absolutely exhausting.
Sun, yeah.
And that was okay. And then whatever the section kept, by that point, like, I was just so exhausted. I was like, do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
And then Max was born and everything was fine.
Yeah.
And everybody tells you to keep your kids, like, close
yes.
in age.
Yeah.
Well, then I fell pregnant. Well, there's exactly 2 years between them. So one's the 3rd of October and one's the 2nd of October.
Uh-huh.
And then I fell pregnant with Mason.
My God.
I know. And so there's 2 years between them. So
yeah.
he then came along, no problems whatsoever.
No.
It was a scheduled section this time because I was like, hey, yeah. I'm not going through that again.
No
way.
Definitely not.
And scheduled section and everything was fine.
Yeah.
Everything went great. And I suppose that's why everything came such as a shock to me the third
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Like, I had no reason to even think
no.
that anything would be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and whenever it happened, first of all, whenever I found out, we sort of thought at the time of lockdown, we were like, right, well, we'll see what happens.
Was this at the start of lockdown? Or was there
right, well, lockdown started like
the
this
March,
time 2 years
yeah.
ago. So March 2 years ago. And then nobody really knew what was happening. And then I was like, do you know what? Probably around August, September time, we were like, well, do you know what? We'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
And that was okay. We seen what happened. We're just bumped with the flow. And then it was the first weekend in December. And again, I don't know what came over me, but I thought, I'm going to just take a pregnancy test. We were going out for dinner. And, like, of course, like, my husband kept saying, do you know what? Have you a couple of cocktails and I'll drive, or we can get a taxi.
Yeah.
Because it was at that time when things were just starting to open up again. And as usual, I'm late for everything in life, Bruna. And everything in life. And it was like 4:30 and I thought, do you know what? I'll just nip into the chemist. I was going for dinner at 5:00.
Yeah.
Just nip into the chemist, get a pregnancy test and see what the crack is. So anyway, my house is like 20 minutes from where we were going for something to eat. Up and done the pregnancy test. I was like, oh, pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God. Oh, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
And then anyway, I says, I'll just drive the night. And he says, why? Are you not having a cocktail? I was like, pregnant.
You what?
You serious?
Yeah, yeah.
And the two of us, we sat over the dinner that night and we were just like, oh my God, I actually can't believe that this is happening.
Yeah.
And do you know what I would say, Bruna? You see, for the first time, I felt ready.
Okay.
I think because maybe through my counselling journey and my studying, I'm just in a better place myself. Do
yes.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas,
you're a better mindset now.
Aye, far better mindset.
Yeah.
Whereas before, like, whenever I had Max and Mason, I was 31 and 33, and I was like so worried about what my house was looking like and all these people coming to visit, and I'd had to have everything looking perfect for them, whereas it wasn't like that this time. And I mm-hmm. actually, for the first time, felt totally ready.
Yeah.
totally ready.
So you were excited for it?
Oh, we were so excited. And I was like, I just cannot wait to tell the two boys because they've always wanted a wee brother or sister.
Yeah.
And that was okay. And I was like, right, I'm just going to have to zip it because, again, so impatient, the most impatient person. Like, it's a killer for me to hold anything.
Yeah.
And that was all right. And I said to Shane, I said, do you know what? I might pay privately just to get an early pregnancy scan done.
I'd had the same, yep.
Just to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the Mid-Ulster Women's Clinic in Muckerfield and they were absolutely brilliant. And seeing the doctor, and she was like, do you know what? Everything's good. Everything's fine.
How many weeks were you in?
I think I was... It was the start of January, so I was probably about 7, maybe 8 weeks in. And that settled me because for some reason, and I don't know why it was in my head, I thought, oh, what if it was an ectopic or something? Like, I just didn't know. So everything was okay. And Shane and the two boys were in the car while I got the scan because he wasn't allowed in because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I remember us going through KFC and I was like, I can't actually keep this to myself.
Was that difficult going on there on your own? I would say so.
It was because
even though it's not your, obviously that would, it was your third pregnancy.
Yeah.
But I still think that would be hard for a woman.
Do you know what? I was sitting and I don't know if you've ever been there. The Mid-Ulster Women's Clinic.
No, never, not.
It's really lovely. Like, and I see because it's private, it's all set out really, really nicely and really relaxing atmosphere, you know, when you go in. So that helped. And you know what? There was no waiting around. It was like straight in, straight out. So I didn't really get a chance to be anxious. But on the way up, I was like, what if they tell me something wrong? Like, but then that completely went out of my head and it was fine. And I remember the boys wanted a KFC afterwards. And I was like, I'm dying to tell these two, but I just can't. I know I can't.
Yeah.
So that was okay. Then we went on, never said nothing. And I was like, do you know what, Shane? Wouldn't it be, this is so funny because I could go through this whole pregnancy and nobody would ever know because we're in lockdown. And, exactly. You know,
nobody's seen me.
Nobody's seen me. And I was like, maybe we'll just do that. We'll just not tell nobody. And that was okay. Then the 12-week scan came along.
Mm-hmm. In your own hospital?
In my own hospital. And went to it. And the girl, the nurse done the scan, she was like, everything's perfect. Looking great. She gave me like, I would say maybe 12 pictures, which I found really weird. Really, really weird. And the pictures were absolutely perfect. You know the way at that 12-week stage, where they're not normally that great, but they were absolutely perfect. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And by this stage, I had told like a couple of really close friends.
Yeah.
And everyone was great. Like I was like, oh my God.
You were getting excited?
Yeah. I was getting so excited. Yeah. When I was like, do you know what it was? It was just having the time off work again. And it's almost like your first maternity leave again because the boys would be at school and I would have time with this baby of my own. And that was all right. And we didn't tell anybody then until about 16 weeks.
Okay.
And it was February. And there had been a really, really big snowfall, right? Okay. And my two boys had built a massive big snowman.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember pinning the scan picture to the snowman.
Oh, God.
And the two Wayans were standing in front of it and we took a picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, do you know what, Shane? I'm showing. People know. Like, I was really showing. It was like my third pregnancy, so I was really showing. And we sent the picture off. Sent the picture to everybody. And my brother then, he's so funny.
Yeah.
He then built the snowman with his young boy.
Yeah.
And replied to me as if to say, well, my snowman's better than yours. Yeah. He didn't get it. There was no scan picture. He didn't get the scan picture. I was like,
you might have a competition with snowman.
I was like, and I said, you might want to scan zoom in on that. And he was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I think it was such a shock to people because they were like, oh, we just assumed that you were, that was it.
Yeah.
And that was okay.
And probably because of the boys being older too as well, seven and nine.
That's it. Like, and we had told them, maybe that I'm going back and forward here, but we told them maybe about a few nights before that. And I said to Shane, you know, them two's not going to be able to hold their water. And they've got wee friends that live beside us. And then they would have told the parents and like them, maybe my mummy and daddy and my brothers not knowing.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it getting out. So that's why we done that. And then that was okay. Everyone was
did
fine.
You do that publicly or just your friends and family? Or
no,
did
just
you, like,
friends and family. No, just friends and family. Yeah. Like I don't really do a lot like, on social media, like, okay, but just friends and family. And everybody was like, oh, I'm so happy for you. And I was like, do you know, for the first, like, not for the first time, we were thinking about things like buggies. And I was like, oh my God, all my stuff's gone.
Yeah.
Going to have to start all over again. And then 2 weeks later, I was going in for, to meet my consultant to get my dating scan for my section.
Right.
And went in on the Wednesday morning.
So were you 18 weeks in?
Yeah, but well, there's they don't really know if it was 18, right. 20, between 18 and 20.
Right.
And went in, sat in the waiting room, and of course I was still working away, and I was like, jeez, this is taking them so long. I'm over an hour late mm-hmm. here. Like, what's keeping them?
And were you on your own again because of you?
Mm-hmm. I'm my own because of COVID.
Yeah.
And my husband, he was working. I was fine. And do you know what? I was all right with like going on my own anyway.
No, yeah.
And but this then eventually my appointment was at 9 o'clock. At 10:20, the doctor came out and she was like, "Come." I was like, "What?" And she's like, "Come." I said, "Okay." So anyway, she took me into the room and she was like, "Okay, jump up on the bed." I wasn't really expecting that type of appointment, you know. Yeah. And she says, "Jump up on the bed and we'll do a scan. Has everything been fine?" I was like, "Yeah. Getting loads of movement. Think everything's okay."
And you were getting movement then, yeah.
Until, well, I'm only thinking about this now.
Yes, yeah.
I wasn't probably the day before.
Okay, right.
But I never realised. No, I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah.
And she scanned me. And you know the way when you scan, you can sort of hear a background noise kind of. And there was nothing. And I was like, something's wrong here. Mm-hmm. I knew something was wrong. New bare face.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to me, the scanner's not working. And I was like, do I need to be worried?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, nope, scanner's not working. We just need to get you into the consultant's room and let the consultant scan you. So I was getting myself all cleaned up from the scan, you know, the
jelly. Yeah.
And she had walked out in front of me, but she had been talking to nurses.
Right,
and I could see there was three nurses standing at the door and I could see them like us here.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's something wrong. Something's wrong here.
Yeah.
So I text my husband. I says, like, and I'm not religious in any way, Bruna. And I text my husband and I was like, Shane, I really think something's wrong here. Say a prayer because there's something's not right.
Okay.
And he was asking them why, like, what's going on? Because he hadn't a clue either.
No.
And I was like, look, I have to go in here to the consultant's room. I don't know what's going on. So I entered the consultant's room and it was in the middle of COVID, obviously. And she says, right, jump up. And the two of them were standing at the side and she scanned. And it's all I could do in my head was like, please make us be wrong. Please just make us be wrong. Because mm-hmm. I hadn't even considered it.
Yeah.
Hadn't considered that something could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
because you had two healthy pregnancies beforehand, like what?
And do you know what, Bruna? I think this is why I'm so passionate about making this something that people do talk about. It's not something that I even, like, I've had people in my life, like close people who've had losses and like stillbirths and stuff. And I didn't realize the pain involved in it.
Yeah.
So the doctor, the consultant, then she says to me, look, I'm really, really, really sorry. She says, I'm so sorry. She says, there's no heartbeat. And I was like, okay. And the way you could see in the scan, like just the wee baby just lying there. And I said, right, okay. And at that, I was just like an out-of-body moment.
Oh, God.
So I sat down. And do you know what, Bruna? For a woman who's, like, at that time, I was 39 coming 40.
Okay, yeah.
And I didn't even consider what was going to come next.
Next, yeah.
And
did you feel like you were grieving there now?
I just feel like as if I was, like an out-of-body moment. I think it was just the shock of everything. So I sat down and she says, look, I'm going to have to ring down to gynae here because you're going to transfer from maternity to gynae. It's just as quick as that.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, okay. And she says, look, we'll need to talk about delivery now. Will that hit me like a bus? I don't know what I thought. I don't know if I thought that because I'd sections previously, so I would just go and have surgery.
Yeah.
Or if I thought that things would happen naturally. I don't know what was going through my head, but
did they match you there and then, or did
no.
you?
No. So what happens then is she says, look, what's going to happen is I'm going to transfer you to gynae because you're not under her care anymore. I was like, okay. So it's like, it's crazy, Bruna. Right. I remember every single moment. It's like the trauma. It seems like the trauma, every single moment has stuck with me.
Okay.
And walking down the corridor to gynae, this doctor walked down with me. She's like, oh, I keep forgetting you're pregnant. I'll slow down. And I was like,
That's you.
I'm not pregnant. But anyway, I was okay. But into gynae, and it just, like, as I came to the gynae, the reception at gynae, I just completely fell apart because it hit me. I have to tell my kids this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell my weans. Mm-hmm. How do I break this to them? They're so excited. And
it must have been more difficult for the fact that you were on your own too as well.
Bruna.
And the Matza lockdown,
It was awful. And because all that was happening so quickly, I hadn't even time to ring Shane and tell him what was going on.
Yeah.
And then I sat down and was like, right, I need to ring him. And he, God love him, getting that phone call, 100%. At work.
Yeah.
And he was like, right, I'm coming home, I'll come down to you. I was like, look, by the time you come, I think he was in Ballycastle at the time, I was like, by the time you come to Ballycastle, to Coleraine, you're better just go home, because I'll be home by then anyway. So went in and talked to the nurse in Gainey, and she was like, you're going to have to come in and deliver this baby. I was like, are you serious?
Mm.
Is there no other way? Mm-hmm. She's like, no, there's no other way. And I says, right, so tell me what happens. And she says, right, so you'll come in tomorrow. And at that time, you can't do nothing without a COVID test. So I had to come in and get a COVID test done that morning, the next morning. And she said, what will happen is that tablet will soften everything.
Okay.
And we'll bring you in 48 hours for delivery to induce you. And I was like, right, okay. And went home. No, I went out to the car park and I rang Shane.
And was
like,
that it? Was there any support there at all? Was there?
No. Well,
that
was the just midwife.
Black
was
and white. Just say just, it.
It is what it is.
And that's it. And then you just.
And this is what I say.
Like, even walking out that car.
Do you know what? Like, I walked.
Must have been the worst walk.
It was absolutely horrendous. I walked out that car, that corridor.
You know, you like, were
trying to hold myself together.
100%.
Trying to hold myself together. Trying to find change for a car parking ticket.
Yeah.
Trying to even remember where my car was. And I sat in my car and I was like, I actually can't believe this is happening. Mm-hmm. How do I drive home? How do I drive home on my own? And got into the car, rang my husband, and he was like, do you want me to just come and lift you? And I was like, do you know what? No, I don't. I'll just come home.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, Selena, are you okay? I was like, I will be okay. It's just, I've just had such a shock. It's unreal. And then I rang my best friend and I said to her, my baby's died.
Mm-hmm.
Not even thinking about how that phone call was for her.
Yeah.
Like, that's bound to have been hard for her to take as well. Like, what? And she was like, I just don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say to you.
You know, you thought that you were going on for a regular appointment. They come out, with the most heartbreaking news.
Yeah. And then not knowing what was ahead of you.
Yeah, 100%.
So I come home, and at this point, like, bearing in mind that my daddy was still seriously ill at that time. And I thought, I need to break this news to my mum. And I just don't want to do it. And it took me, I was home, I would say, at about 11:45 that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 12:15. And it took me to 3:30 that day to actually go in and tell her the news. Because I just thought, you know what, she doesn't need this as well.
No, it's heartbreaking for you all.
And I'll never forget my husband's face walking in the door of our house. I said, Shane, how do we tell our boys? How do I tell them? And do you know what's really weird, Bruna? The night before I went in for the scan, or went in for my appointment, my youngest boy said to me, Mommy, what happens if the doctor tells you the baby's dead?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, well, if that happens, we'll just have to, deal with it. And the minute I came in the door, the front door of our house, Shane said to me, do you remember what Mason said last night? And I was like, yeah. Oh my god. So that was okay. Then I went in and I told my mum, and that was all horrendous. Like, my wee daddy with his illness, mm-hmm. he couldn't communicate.
No.
And you could just tell, like, while he couldn't communicate, he was still 100% cognitive.
Yeah.
Like, his cognitive mind was okay. And you could just tell he was broken for me, you know.
Interpret.
And that was okay. When I went home, and obviously the news was starting to filter out. See the number, like, Bruna, you see some of the comments that were made? Unbelievable. And do you know what? Like, I know people don't say things
mm-hmm.
from a place of malice.
No.
But they just don't get it. And I think it's because we don't talk about it. And 100%. There's no education out there.
No, definitely not.
You know, for people. And I probably was that person before it's happened to me. Like, I just probably said the wrong thing. Like, you see the number of times that I heard things like, oh, it just wasn't meant to be. Or, and like,
that's a baby.
That's somebody telling you your baby wasn't meant to be.
Exactly.
You know?
No.
And that was hard to take. Like, and other things that were said, you know, like one person said to me, do you not feel really weird walking around knowing your baby's dead?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, it's great crack.
No, that's... but do you know what? You know, at the same time too, sometimes people just say stuff and they're nervous kind of thing. But at the same time too, do you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's why, you know, it has to be more out there. It has to be more spoke about because... do you know, there's not much education on it at all whatsoever.
There's not, like, and people don't talk about it. And you see even, like, you see before it happened with me, I would have been very much like, oh my God, that's so sad.
Aye.
But never would have thought about what then happens, 100%. What a woman has to go through,
aye, exactly.
What a couple have to go through, or even children. Like, I mean, we have been very lucky in that, you know, we both know a bit about emotional intelligence and like things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, people grieve differently, and I know people grieve differently. And sometimes in couples, they just go against each other, and it can be the end of a relationship.
100%.
You know,
definitely.
It's a very, very hard thing for couples to work through. But anyway, then.
So, see the next day then when you went on then?
So, the next day, me and Shane went in.
Oh, they let him in?
Mm-hmm. They let him in for that. And they said, look,
good because at least she had the support
I was so I don't think I could have done it without him. You know, I don't think I could have.
No.
So we both went in, and the same midwife met us again, which was good because consistency, you didn't have to tell your story all over again. And she said, do you want me to scan you again? And I was like, yeah, absolutely, I want you to scan me again just in case, because even though I knew Bruna, part of me
had a glance
was
of hope.
Part of me was like, they've got this wrong.
Yeah.
Like that whole night, I was like, oh, they've maybe just got it wrong. And went in the next day and then took the tablet. And then you have to wait for two full days of sitting at home. And do you know what got me? And you see, in them 2 days, Bruna, I said to my husband that in them days, I was like, I can't let this just go as an experience. I need to do something with this to help other people, because there's a gap. Like, there's nobody should be made go through that on their own and just left for 2 or 3 days.
Absolutely.
To then come in and watch.
It must be horrendous. Like,
it was hard. It was hard. And
probably the fear of the unknown and, you know,
absolutely.
The anxiety of that too as well.
Because obviously I had the experience of Max and the labour with him.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what was going to happen. And what they said to me was like, look, it's not really anything to worry about. It'll be... like really strong period pains.
Okay.
And I was like, well, can't be too bad. To be honest, I didn't really give it much thought. Then we went back in again on the Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to be in half eight, maybe, to be induced.
Mm-hmm.
So they give you a tablet again to start the induction process. And it was, they were really good, you know, because they give us like a wee room off on our own.
That's good, yeah.
Kind of just left us to it. Like, and we were watching.
That's good that you had the support there for that. Yeah. You know, that you didn't have to be in a room with other people, or, you know, that you had that time together.
It was nice. And do you know what? Like, me and him were even having, like, we knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And I think we were trying to lighten the mood and we're having a bit of crack and stuff.
Well, yeah, 100%.
And, I remember at about, so that was about 9 o'clock, it started me off. And I was getting pains, but nothing massive.
Mm-hmm.
And at about 4 o'clock, I said to him, look, you may go home and feed the dog because there's nothing happening here.
Yeah.
Well, he hadn't left that room 10 minutes until the pain started.
Okay.
Bruna, you see, if somebody could have shot me, I would have let them shoot me.
Yeah.
It was absolutely horrendous. And like it was all like lower back and here. And I said to the midwife, I was like, this is absolutely awful. And they brought me then, like, gas and air and stuff. And she said, look, it's because when we give you the tablet, your body's working against it because your body still thinks you're pregnant. And we're giving you something to remove your baby.
God bless you.
And that went on. Like, the horrendous pain went on for about 4 hours. Like, I'm constant for 4 hours. It was like, I didn't want to sit down, didn't want to stand up, didn't know what I wanted to do. And then Shane had come back by this time and he was like, are you all right? I was like, well, no. I'm not all right.
No.
But I knew I had to do it, and I was you know, had accepted it and knew I had to do it. And then at about 8 o'clock, the nurse came in and she was like, "How are you?" And I was like, "Awful." And this was a new nurse that had come on, and I actually know her. She lives quite close to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, whenever you're in a situation like that and you see somebody you know, you're like, "Oh no."
No.
But she was unbelievable. Like, I see, apart from Shane, had she not have been there, I couldn't have done it.
Aye.
Couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Like, she literally was phenomenal. The things that that girl had to do, you know, I would never have expected. And then at about 8 o'clock, the amount of blood I lost was mm-hmm. unreal. I'd sent Shane to, something subconsciously in me must have known that this was going to happen, and I'd sent him off to get a drink. And he came back in and he said, like, it was like a murder scene.
Okay.
The room was just like a murder scene. Like, mm-hmm. there was so much blood. And I don't really want to go into too much detail.
No, not at all. You don't need to go into that, no.
Just in case it would trigger somebody else. That's the only reason. But whenever you go to the toilet, you have to go in a bedpan just in case. So whenever I went to the toilet, because I'd lost so much blood, I stood up and then, like, dropped because I'd lost so much blood. So they had to rush me onto the bed and get me up, like, so the blood was going in my head. And then we delivered the baby. And do you know what, Bruna? It was just perfect. It was like this size. It was like the size of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you see his wee collarbones.
Did you know it was a boy?
Yeah. Oh, well, you got, it was very
obvious. I mean, beforehand,
I didn't know it was a boy. And do you know what? Part of me, I think, it would have broke me if I had known it was a girl.
Okay.
Because I have two boys. Yeah. You know, I think it would have been a lot harder. And his wee collarbones and everything, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at that stage,
mm-hmm.
like, just what all's there. You could see his wee nail beds, everything. He was just perfect. And I'll never forget, like, the nurse bringing him back in again. Because I was then going to have to be rushed to surgery. But my husband's face, I'll never forget it, ever. Like,
heartbroken.
It literally was just, I don't even know if you would say heart. He just was in complete disbelief that this was happening.
Yeah.
And
the what you had to go through.
Yeah, and that's what I say. Like, it was probably even worse for him.
Yeah.
Sitting there looking on at all this going on.
Like, I always think about that too. You know, any time I've been, you know, somebody reaching out to me about a miscarriage or a baby mm-hmm. loss, or, you know, obviously, of course, it's woman, you know, and stuff like that. But I always think about the partners and the yeah. husbands and all too as well, because it must be really difficult too for them.
Has to be, because I'll talk about it in a minute or two, but I have had a couple of men have reached out, you know, about telling their story.
Okay.
And it is hard on the men, because the men then feel, and I know my husband felt like he was tiptoeing around me the whole time, and he was probably worrying about, is she okay? Is she not okay? And you know what? I wasn't okay straight after it. Like,
of course you're not. Do you know, at the end of the day, you're grieving there and then. Do you know, grieving the loss of...
There's this thing as well, Bruno, where, and it's probably something internal in me, where I felt like having the right to grieve, because... Okay. I didn't know this baby, and it was really weird, where I was like, stop being a drama queen, stop being a drama queen, just get on with it. And do you know what? I'm a trained counsellor.
Yeah.
I know that that's not the way.
Yeah.
But
was there support there then afterwards? Did they offer you counselling or anything? No. Or
you get a leaflet.
That's it?
That's it.
See, that's what I mean. Do you know, there's not, do you know... A loss is a loss, no matter what it is. Do you know, no matter if it's a loss of a dog, or if it's a loss of a child, or a loss of a parent, whatever, it's a loss is a loss.
Well, that's,
you know,
it,
like, at the end of the day. And do you know, as you know, we go on what you've went through this third pregnancy, you know, because you're so passionate about it, is there any wonder that you are? Because that is what you went through, and what you've said there now is absolutely horrendous, like, heartbreaking.
Do you know what? Like, and I think for quite a while I was like, do you know what, this is? And it does happen to so many people.
Aye.
But that doesn't mean that you can't grieve.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that we say in counselling, is that there's no hierarchy of grief. You know, it's individual to the person.
Absolutely. You could have had you in 10 years time. Do you
that's
know?
That's it. Like, and you know, like, my husband, we always have this real laugh. Like, me and him's like chalk and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this laugh that he's got this box, and he's really lucky because he just throws everything into the box and he doesn't have to worry about it. But it's not funny because men do need to talk about these things as well, you know. And
how was the kids afterwards?
So, Bruna, it was hard. Like, you know, the waist one, do you know what? Like, we broke it to them in a nice way, I think. Like, I'll never forget them coming home from school. And I thought, do you know what? I'm not leaving this.
No.
I need to do it now.
And she did it at just
straight away. Yeah, I done it straight away because, do you know what? I was in bits.
You were exhausted. Yeah.
I was exhausted. Yeah. Shane was exhausted. And they come in from school and Shane says, look, your mommy's upstairs. She wants to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And they come up and they knew.
Okay.
And I said, look, you just now have a wee angel. You know, an angel that looks after you.
Yeah.
And do you know what's amazing? Like, my oldest one is 9. And he's like, he's a strange wee cookie. You know, okay. He's like that wee hard man attitude, you know.
Yeah.
But do you know what he said to me the other day? And I found it really, really, I was like, I never thought that you would even have thought about it, you know.
Yeah.
So we named our baby Tori.
Yeah.
My husband's daddy, he died 13 years ago.
Okay.
And his nickname was Tori. So right, we named the baby after
beautiful
him.
Yep.
And my oldest son said to me on Sunday actually, he said, mommy, do you think I'm getting better at football? And I said, yeah, I think you are, eh? And he says, you know, I think I've been getting better since Tori's been watching out for me.
Oh god.
And I was like, do you know what, like, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. That like a year on and that's still in his wee head. But anyway, back to the day that of the delivery. So what happened then was I delivered the baby and the placenta hadn't come away.
Okay.
So the initial doctor who said to me, come, come back into the room again. And she tried to remove it internally, manually.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is just not working. I just can't do it. And she was like, right, okay, you're losing too much blood. We need to rush you to theatre. And she says, don't worry. It's a short procedure. It'll only be 20 minutes. And that was at about, about 9:15.
Did they put you to sleep for it?
Mm-hmm. That was about 9:15. So Shane at this point was sitting in the delivery room.
Mm.
And it came 12 o'clock and there was still no word of me home again or back down again.
Oh, no way.
And he says, like, in that time, he was just like, what is going
on? Exactly, yeah.
Has she, I suppose, like, the trauma of all that blood and everything.
Well, I was the same. I had, mine was a planned section. Everything went grand. Babies came out. But afterwards, I hemorrhaged. So they had me and theatre in for hours afterwards. So, like, my mama was outside and, you know, Berkey's mum and daddy and stuff were all outside too as well. And it was a good, like, couple hour gap too. They didn't know what was going on. But at that time, they didn't know I actually hemorrhaged in theatre.
And do you know what? Like,
scary for them too, like.
I can't imagine what that was like for him.
Yeah.
Sitting in that room.
And especially that, because you lost so much blood too as well, do you know?
I would say, like, I have no idea what went through his head. Like,
yeah.
And he, and then whenever I come back down to the room again, I was out of it, like, so it was fine. And then the next day, I was like, right, okay, so we need to think about a burial and stuff here. And, like, you never think you're going to be in that position, you know. No. And I was like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know what do you even do?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, look, we need to ring the priest. I was like, fuck, we need to ring. I never even thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were so fortunate that the undertaker, who's a family friend, just took control of everything.
Oh, yeah.
And she rang me and she says, look, Selena, when do you want this done? And I was like, do you know what? I want it done today.
Okay.
And she was like, today. I said, yeah, do you know what, Maria? I can't let this go on for any period of time. I said, like, I need to get it done.
Yeah.
And I said to Shane, are you happy enough with that? And he was like, look, yeah, I'm happy enough. So me and him had decided that it would just be me and him.
Okay.
So on the way, we have to bring the baby home to the undertaker. And then she said, is the boys going to come? And I was like, I don't think so. I don't know. And then whenever I got home, they were like, no, we want to come. And I thought, you know what? I can't not let them come because they could hold that against me.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was just the four of us at the grave and we'd done the burial. The priest was there. And you know what? It was just lovely.
Aye.
It was really, really nice. And that was that. And I suppose everything, I sort of felt okay.
How was your grief afterwards then, once you, because you were on the mats of lockdown too as well, weren't you?
Do you know what, Bruna? Yeah. And like, life has to go back to normal.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, my husband's self-employed. He had to go back to work.
Yeah.
And then the kids were at school. And
did you have support there with your family and stuff and friends? And
people didn't really get it, Bruna, to be honest with you. Right. I did have support with family and friends. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I could have left it the phone to anybody. But at that time, I was extremely sensitive. And everything, it seemed to be that, I suppose I was at the anger stage of grief, and everything people were saying was irritating me, and I was clinging on to it. I'm like, how dare, and when really I know that was me, that it wasn't them, they didn't mean any bad by it. And, you know, I did have support network there, but I probably didn't make use of it. And everything was okay. I journaled a lot, an awful lot. And you know what, Bruna? That's the one thing I'm so grateful for, because see now, looking back at that?
Yeah.
I get so much. Like, it's just like, do you know what, actually? It's really empowering, because you're like, do you know, you've been through shit here.
No.
And you've come through the other end. And
my mum's the same. My mum, I journal too as well for nearly 5 years, you know, every single night. And then Bergie passed away, and then she hasn't done it since. But she did say that she will eventually go back to that. But that is always one of her biggest. She talks about it very openly and talks about it all the time. You know, if you're in her company or whatever, she found that the biggest form of her healing was journaling.
And you know what it is?
And she's the same. She always says, I look back and see how far
it came. It's lovely to read it, because you know what? Like, even now that I know what I know now, because I have looked into baby loss an awful lot, and I've done a lot of training around it, and I've read a lot of books, I now read that journal, and I'm like, you know what, you thought you were okay, but even how I was writing things was full of anger and aggression. And
but then suppose you had to go through the motions of that.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. And do you know what, I think the journaling got me through, and then it came to July, which is when I would have been going off maternity. Well, Bruna hit me like a bus.
Yeah.
And I did not expect it. And I thought, what the hell is happening to me here?
Yeah.
What is happening to me? And I thought, you know what? I need to see a doctor, or I need to see a counsellor. And you see, with my course, I have to do personal therapy anyway. So I went to one counsellor, and that counsellor had absolutely no experience of baby loss. And I could tell she was directing me in other directions, because she didn't want to go there.
Okay, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was pointless. Then I got another girl, and she, not that she had experience of it, but she was much more empathetic, and she just gave me that space to talk about it. And that's probably what I needed at that time, was just somebody to listen and not
support
judge.
Support the effort,
and not invalidate me. Do you know what I mean? But what happened, I don't know if, I'm bouncing back and forward here, but in June, it was the end of June, so I delivered our baby on the 27th of February, because me and you talked about that date.
I know. Because when you said that date, I was like, oh my God, that's my daddy's anniversary.
I know. And you know what, Bruna, what's really crazy? 1 year on, then I was burying my own daddy.
I know.
It's crazy. Like,
it's crazy.
That kind of brought me a bit of peace in a way, but it was strange. It strangely did.
Yeah.
But, in June, so when, at the end of June, I woke up in the middle of the night one night with this like really, really intense pain in my abdomen area.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad that I didn't even want to move to nudge shame, because I was like, if this is my appendix, it's going to burst.
Okay, right.
It was so intense.
Yeah.
And then I never slept all night. And then the next morning, well, I must have slept off for about an hour, say about 5 o'clock or something. And I woke up, and there was nothing there. It was fine. There was no pain. And I said to Shane, I said, I wonder, should I ring the doctor just to make sure? So I thought, well, I'll ring just, they're probably not going to see me, it's COVID and everything else. So I rang them, and he says to me, I think it's phantom gallbladder pain.
Okay.
Because I had my gallbladder removed before.
Okay.
And I says, right, well, that's okay. As long as it's nothing to worry about, it's just that I haven't been examined, or I haven't seen anybody or talked to anybody since the loss. And his exact words, now, bearing in mind, at this point, number one, I was really sensitive.
Yeah.
And number two, I had already felt like I was being invalidated every time I turned myself.
Yeah.
But he said to me, and his exact words, and I'll never forget them, mm-hmm. were, do you know what, Selena? At your age, getting pregnant's a gamble, and some people win and some people lose.
Oh my God.
And he said, unfortunately, you lost. He says, but, he says, talk to your husband about this and think about this. He says, because there's always a silver lining. Mm-hmm. Think of the fun you're going to have trying again.
Oh my God, Selena.
So, and I remember standing in my garden, because it was in June, it was quite a nice day, and I thought, am I being sensitive? Am I being overly sensitive here? And I've always been brought up like, doctors, you respect your doctor. And I was like, okay. And I said, okay, that's okay. I says, while we're on the topic, has the postmortem results come back yet?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he says, they come in at the start of March. I was like, we're in June. And he says, that's not going to tell you anything anyway, don't be. He says, there's nothing, it's not telling you anything, it's inconclusive. I said, right, okay. So anyway, I came into the house and I sat down. I thought, am I being insensitive? So I rang my husband. I says, look, just tell me straight up, am I overreacting here or what? And he was like, Selena, that's an absolute disgrace. That is absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, I'd always had quite a good relationship with that doctor. I had been with that practice for 40 years. And I thought, you know what? There's no repairing that relationship. No. I'm just going to have to leave.
Yeah.
And I did leave. But you know what? I thought afterwards, I thought, he needs to know that's not okay.
No, 100%.
And I wrote him a letter. I was like, do you know what? This is why I've left. It wasn't an easy decision. And
but your comment was out of order.
Yeah. I don't want you to contact me.
Yeah.
I don't want, I'm not making a complaint.
Aye.
But please just don't ever say this to anybody else again, because that could have been enough to completely break somebody.
100%. And as a woman who was so sensitive going through the midst of grief, do you know that's not okay to say?
I know. And then, so then that's whenever I started seeing the counsellor, and she was like, no, it's not, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. That's not okay.
So your last pregnancy then, where, what was?
So what happened then was, I went into this mode, Bruna, where I was like, right, time's ticking here. You need to get pregnant straight away. You can't wait a month. Right. You have no time to wait a month. And my husband was like, look, you've been told, we just need to calm down, Selena. And my counsellor was like, you know, just take your time. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, I was like, right, I need to get pregnant here again. I need to, and I mean, every single, maybe twice, three times a day, I was doing ovulation tests. Yeah. And just like getting into this really bad place where I was like, you know, if I wasn't ovulating, I was like, oh my God, I'm going through the menopause. Like, mm-hmm. catastrophizing everything. Yeah. And that was okay. Then I thought to myself, Selena, after about 3 months of this,
yes.
complete torture, and going back to feeling like what I felt like when I was trying for Max, I was like, no, this has to stop.
Yeah.
I just can't keep going on like this. And then the minute I'd stopped getting on like that, in August, I'll never forget, I was talking to a friend and she was like, you seem really different. And I was like, do you know what it is? I'm just not even trying anymore, because I've just put myself through so much. I've given myself so much stress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to try anymore. Whatever. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And do you know what? Like, that second time, I was more eager to get pregnant this time, obviously, because of the loss, than I even was the time before. And that was okay. Then that day she said to me, are you sure you're not pregnant? I was like, no, I'm not pregnant. She's like, you're really different. Like, there's like a complete difference with you.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just because I'm not stressing myself. And then, of course, after meeting her, I drove home and I was like, maybe I am pregnant. I'm not, my period's not late, but maybe I am pregnant. So done a test and this wee faint line. And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at the end of August.
Still in lockdown?
Yeah. Still in lockdown, and it was maybe the middle of August, mm-hmm. and I was like, Shane, I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you can't be. I was like, no, but I am. And he was like, happy days, that's really good. But he says, like, he says, I'm a bit worried, like, but you know, we're always, and you know what?
Did you have that fears and anxiety straight away?
Yeah. And you know what? Like, it's really crazy, and it's something I never realized before, but like, every time you go to the toilet, you're like,
yeah.
Oh God, what's going to happen here?
That's because of the trauma of what you've been through before. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was okay. And this time I was really, really lucky that I was able to self-refer to the early pregnancy clinic. And again, I had to go on my own because of COVID. And I changed hospitals at this time because I didn't want to, not that anybody did anything wrong in the other hospital. No. I just didn't want to go back there. Just the trauma up there.
Yeah, no, 100% get it. Yeah.
And then, and plus I'd seen another doctor private again at the Mid-Ulster Women's Clinic after that comment from my doctor. Yeah. And I could not, and like, I have to say, Brona, I went to the Mid-Ulster Women's Clinic, seen this doctor, and he, I told him what had happened. And he was like, do you know what, Selena? He says, if you get pregnant again, let me know. It, like, I had to pay for the appointment, but you know what? See, knowing that I had somebody in my corner that I could trust, it just made all the difference. And he said, and I think that's what made me end up getting pregnant, because see, talking to him, I just calmed right down. And he said, look, if you ever do get pregnant again, please let me know and I'll get you into my surgery on the National Health, and I'll see you and I'll look after you and I'll make sure you're scanned every couple of weeks. So then I got pregnant, and sure enough, he stuck to his word and he was like, look, I'll get you in my clinic. And I was like, you know, this is amazing because I have the right support behind me here now. So I thought it was okay. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to be that person that's panicking about everything. And I drove to Antrim Hospital. I was so past myself. I drove past the exit for the hospital. I didn't even realise it was that past myself. So then I went into the early pregnancy unit and for the scan. And this wave just hit me. I was like, oh my God, what if something goes wrong here? But no, we went in and everything seemed fine. They were like, you're very, very early. We think probably 5-6 weeks, but everything's looking okay. All right.
Yeah.
And that was okay. Well, not, she says, we'll not see you for another 4 weeks. I said, well, that'll do. And she says, that'll give everyone time to grow and we'll know where we are with things. And that was okay. Then about 3 weeks later, it was 3 weeks later, me and Shane is very rarely off work, and he was off this Friday. And I said, you know what? We'll go for breakfast. Went for breakfast. Everything was really nice. And I come home and started spotting, but the tiniest wee bit. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm panicking. So I rang Antrim anyway, and the early pregnancy unit, and they were like, look, that can happen, don't panic, it might be it's implantation normal. bleeding, don't be worrying. And that was okay. Then I was just past myself, and my two boys had football training that night, and I was like, do you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go and take my mommy and daddy out and just try and put the attention on them. So took them out to the shops, because obviously my daddy couldn't drive anymore and mommy doesn't drive anyway. And took them out to the shops, and I thought, oh, I think Abraham might be okay, you know. And come back home at about 9 o'clock and just blood everywhere. I was like, oh no, no. So I rang the early pregnancy unit. I was like, look, I think I'm miscarrying here. In fact, God, I'm nearly sure I am. And they said to me, well, there's nothing we can do. You just have to, we just have to let you do it, unless you're soaking through a pad every hour. And in that case, you could, you could be losing too much blood and would have to bring you in. And I was like, look, I just want a scan. And she says, well, look, you're due a scan on Thursday, so just come in on Thursday. I was like, no, because, and by this stage, Brona, I think I'd been pissed off enough with how things have been. I was like, I said, no, I'm not waiting to Thursday. No, I need to know. And that was okay. And she says, no, we can't do it. I said, are you refusing to scan me? And she says, look, we just can't do it. We don't have the staff. And I was like, right. And then I let it go that Friday night. Then the Saturday morning, I rang them again. And I was like, look, I think I've miscarried. Can you just confirm it? I can't go on until Thursday. And that was all right. They said, look, can you come in at 10 o'clock? And this was at like 10 past nine. I was like, well, it'd be a bit tight. Like, I'm like 40, 45 minutes away. Like, can you go on at 10:30? And I was like, right, that's fair enough. So I come in and jumped up on the trolley in the early pregnancy unit, and they done an internal scan. And she said, look, you haven't miscarried yet, but you're going to. And she said, look, this is a case of picking your trauma. Do you want to go home and deliver this yourself? She says, I wouldn't recommend that, because we don't know how much blood you'll lose. She says,
and probably because you're 45 minutes away too as well.
And she says, but what I can do is get the consultant down just to get a second opinion. Consultant come down and straight in and just removed everyone.
She had no time to prepare at all.
Not even a painkiller, Bruna. And you see the pain, not even like anaesthetic, nothing. And you see that pain of that happening. I was like, literally, like, an electric shock going right through your body.
Heartbreaking, huh?
And at this point, like, I had said to my husband, I was like, he was able to come in for the scan, but do you know what? God love him. Like, I know that he thought everything was okay, because she was like, you haven't miscarried.
No.
And you could still see the sac and everything. So I had to just get her to say out clear, like,
this,
that you're going
this
to.
This is what it is, yeah.
And I said to him, look, you don't need to see this. Go you out. And my two weans were in the car. I said, go out to the boys and I'll be fine. But it was the most awful thing. Like, and then afterwards, she was like trying to tell me about postmortems and everything else. I just want it out of the room. She says, I'm really worried. She says, you're like trying to run out of the room. I was like, of course I am. This is absolutely horrific.
I've been here before.
It's horrific. Yeah. And of course, I come out the front door of the hospital and my cousin was going in to deliver her baby. I was like, oh God, this is horrendous. I was like, oh God. But do you know what? It is what it is. And as horrific as it all was, I've learned a lot from it. Like,
100%.
And, you know, somebody said to me, and I think it was maybe the private doctor.
Why do you think people are fearful? They talk about miscarriage and baby loss.
I don't know.
The messages I've had, right, and the people who've reached out to me seem to be crying out for help for somebody to listen to them about this. Do you know?
Yeah, and I think it's because...
And I think when somebody does actually comes out and actually says that, do you know, people are like, oh, thank God, that I can relate to this or whatever, but it takes... This one has seemed to be a really hard subject for people.
It is, and I think it's because of the stigma and the how taboo the topic is.
Mm-hmm.
Women that go through it maybe feel that they don't have a right to be heard.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like, I have to say, like, you know, I accepted things quite well about how everything happened with me, and, you know, I accept that these things happen, and you can't change it. The thing that broke me was my doctor's comment.
Yeah.
And I thought at that point, no. There's something needs to change. Like, and you know, I don't know if you've seen last week where I put out a thing on Instagram. I just thought, you know what, we'll put it out there and we'll see if people would be willing to share their story. And I never expected the response that I got. Like, to see the number of people who have, like, I would say I have enough.
Men and woman, or just woman?
I have one man and the rest are women. And
but see, that one man
could open that door.
Wait,
yeah, definitely.
Like, 100%. Like, I do. I think sometimes they do be lost on it. You know?
Absolutely, 100%.
Don't get me wrong. The trauma and everything, and you know what you've been through is absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Shane there too as well.
That's,
do you know,
it. Like, and do you know what? Like,
did you become closer afterwards?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It made us so much stronger.
Yeah.
And I think it was like in that moment, in that room, there was a respect there.
Yeah.
That both of us, well, obviously we respect each other anyway, but there was just something that happened in that
united
room. And it made us an awful lot stronger.
Yeah.
But you know what, Bruna, that's not always the way.
Not at all.
Like, I have spoke to a girl in the past who said, you know what, it was that moment that broke her and her husband because he just didn't get it.
100%.
And, you know, maybe didn't witness everything, you know, that goes on along with it. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I hear about a miscarriage, I don't always think of all that other stuff that goes on with it. You just think, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I think now, because of what I'm doing now, you know, my eyes are really, really open to it, big time. Do you know?
And do you know what? Like, and that's great. Like, and I would love to see that starting to open more. Like, I'd like to see, like, I think as a nation, we're starting to talk a lot more about suicide. Like, I think, you know, for a long, long time, that was very taboo. And I suppose to a point it still is.
Yeah.
But we're starting to open up and we're starting to talk about that. But the baby loss thing...
How did you start up the page?
I just took a notion.
You did, right?
I just took a notion
one
day.
Was this after the both pregnancies, or was this...
Do you know what, Bruna? I always knew I was going to do something, but I didn't want to do it too soon.
Yeah.
I want it to be ready. And I only done that recently. Like, I only done it very recently. I wanted to give myself about a year before I would do something. Because I know myself... you need time to process.
You've been through the experience of it too, yeah. as well. Do you know 100%? Do you know that you knew that this is a very difficult, taboo subject? Sometimes the people don't really want to speak, but you got it.
Yeah,
you
know, and even some counsellors, you know, that I know don't want to go there mm-hmm. because it scares people.
Yeah.
It does scare people. Like, I would love to, like, at some point, like, start, like, support, and I know there are support groups out there. A lot of that has all come to an end because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to just get a really close-knit community where people feel that they can share, or if somebody's got, see that period of those 3 days from whenever you're told there's no heartbeat till you deliver your baby. There's a gap. There's something's missing there.
Yeah.
There's something missing. And you know what? Like, I've been speaking with a charity in England called For Lewis,
mm-hmm.
and they're absolutely phenomenal. It's set up by a guy called Bob McGurl, and what they're like an advocate service. They're not a counselling service, but they help people out, like, that are going through that. And that guy, like, commits his whole life to helping other people.
Amazing.
And he's the granddad of Lewis.
Okay.
But they, like, do memory boxes and stuff. But, like, me and him is having conversations at the minute about maybe becoming a brand ambassador for them,
mm-hmm.
and bringing something like that into Northern Ireland. But, like, I would just love to be able to see, like, say, for example, like, I did get a memory box whenever we lost our baby.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, it was handed to you, mm-hmm. and left, and that was it. But in my opinion, you need that handed to you and somebody with it.
Yeah, 100%.
To say, look, you're not on your own.
Exactly.
And if you need to reach out, please just do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the number of girls, like, that have come through on my page to tell me their story, and they're just screaming to be heard.
100%. And that's probably because of the lack of support.
Absolutely.
Do you know that there's nothing there? Do you know, not really? Like,
no, there's not. I know, like, there are, like...
Like, aftercare-wise, was there any support at all?
None.
Not
as much as a examination.
And, you know, that's how, you know, you were saying there, you know, about how vulnerable you were. Of course, you're going to be so vulnerable in your mood and, you know, and your grief and all the waves that you go through. Like, surely, you know, there should be some type of support there for men and women that, you know, have went through it. Like,
well, that's what I would love to, and I know that some of the hospitals may have a bereavement midwife, but if there is, I think there's probably only one in the whole hospital. Now, I never seen a bereavement midwife, and I think it's maybe only a new thing, but there should definitely be something in place there, because, like, you know, I was fortunate in that, like, I've been through counselling training and I know how to manage them emotions and, you know, like,
help Shane, your mindset.
And Shane gets that as well.
Yeah.
But imagine you were a girl who's been trying for a baby, maybe ended up on her own, and nothing else, like, no support network. Like,
100%.
You know, where do you go?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Like, where do you go?
Yeah.
Do you find then that, you know, people, you know, your own experience is sharing that on social media. Do you find that helps others too as well?
Yeah. I think, do you know what? Like, I'm very much an open book, mm-hmm. and, like, I suppose even just be telling all the details, and maybe that's too much for some people,
mm-hmm.
and maybe I shouldn't share so much, I don't know, but I think people know that they're gonna.
But that's the reality of it.
Experience.
You know, that's the reality of what we're going to. You know,
that's it.
Sometimes sugarcoating things like that is okay to a certain point. I think when it comes to, like, the children and stuff, like, there's a certain amount of things that, you know, it has to be said or whatever. But, you know, if I think people respect the fact that this is the reality, this is what you actually did. Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah, and do you know what? Like, I don't know what's going to end up happening, but I would love to specialise in dealing with parents and children that are, even like wee kids, you know. I have left that we do talk about. Now, my two boys never knew about my second pregnancy or my fourth pregnancy, but they never knew about that, and I just thought, and I'm not going to tell them because they probably don't need to know about it until they're a wee bit older. But, like, we have a grave and all for the two babies.
Yeah.
And, like, we go to it all the time, and they talk about them, like, as if they knew them kind of thing, you know, which I think's nice.
Yeah.
It might not be for everyone.
Yeah.
But it works for us as a family.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would there be anything that would trigger you?
Do you know what? Something that I've learned from the whole experience you see, if I'm invalidated in any way, okay, about how I'm feeling about things, yeah, it really triggers me.
Yeah.
It makes me really angry. But like somebody said to me at the time, after I'd lost the baby, you're you. Mm-hmm. You're still the same person, mm-hmm, but you're you with a coat of armour.
Yeah.
Because you protect yourself more now. And I think to a point, you have to. Because
you have to.
And I think, I suppose maybe that's why we didn't tell so many people the second time, because yeah, there were so many unhelpful comments, yeah, at that time that...
That you knew the heartbreak of the... Yeah.
I did. I said, like, me and Shane both said, you know, we'll not, mm-hmm, tell that many people, because... Yeah. What value is it, yeah, is there really in telling until we know the things are going to be okay? But there definitely is a lack, like, and
yeah,
it's something that needs to be talked about, yeah, more openly.
Definitely. Yeah. What gives you the strength and hope again? Do you know what, like, daily life afterwards? Do you know what's your strength?
Do you know what? I think my strength is that I know I need to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's my purpose now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's by chance that this has all happened at the, you know, my final years of study.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where the direction I need to go, because all along through my counselling journey, I thought, well, what am I going to specialise in? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Whereas I just feel like I do see clients on a regular basis, and you see, if I haven't kind of a bit of an idea of what they've went through, like, I'm really lucky now that the placement that I work for now keep the baby loss clients for me.
Yeah.
And I know when that person comes through the door that that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, I know that that's...
Yeah, you know the shared experience. Yeah.
And nobody's experience is the same.
No.
But you've a bit of an understanding.
Yeah.
Of an where empathy they are for them. And yeah, what's going on, you know.
Definitely. 100%. And how are you now after your daddy? So your daddy has been, your daddy was sick for a few years?
My daddy retired when he was 65. Mm-hmm. And do you know what? God love him. Like, from the minute he retired, he never really had any peace.
Yeah.
So he was diagnosed with a rare brain condition called progressive supranuclear palsy.
Okay.
And what that is, it falls under the Parkinson's umbrella.
Okay.
But...
Is it like a brain injury or...?
It's like a brain condition.
Okay, yeah, right.
A brain condition. And so something to do with like protein in the brain that's like starts to eat away. And basically how it affected him was, like, you see, whenever we got the diagnosis, Brenna, we were like, yes,
yeah,
it's not Alzheimer's, no, and it's not Parkinson's, it's this thing called PSP. And yeah, we thought, oh, well, sure, it's not that bad.
Yeah, okay.
And he quite quickly, I suppose, after his diagnosis, we started to notice his driving was getting a wee bit like all over the place, and he then had to go on medication. They tried him on Parkinson's medication, it didn't work for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he ended up losing his license because they just took his license off him because he wasn't fit to drive anymore, and that really, really broke him. And you see, for him and mommy, like, they've been married for years upon years, 52 years actually.
Ugh.
And that was a big thing because they had their wee routine, like, yeah, on a Sunday they would go out for dinner or they would, yeah, go out shopping. And
have you any other brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have two big brothers.
Okay.
So
you're the Wayne?
I'm the spoiled one. And the only girl.
Yeah.
So what happened then with daddy was things started to progress. It was weird, Bruno, because it seemed like he would have like hit a stage and then would dip. And then he'd stay there for a while, and then, okay, he'd dip again, and then he'd stay there for a while. But there was a period of about maybe 2 or 3 years where, like, literally every time my phone went, it was like, your daddy's fell, can you come in and help to pick him up?
Okay.
Your daddy's fell. And you never knew what you were going into. Yeah. It was absolutely awful. And then, not October passed, but the October before, he had quite a bad fall. And
At home?
Uh-huh. And ended up being admitted to Colerain Hospital.
Okay.
And at that time they found fluid in his brain and stuff, and told us that's not really nothing to worry about.
Okay.
But at that time daddy was ready to go, like, he'd, okay, said his goodbyes and stuff. And he then ended up going to rehab to Macclesfield Hospital, and then got out maybe about a month later.
Mm-hmm.
And from then he's always been in a wheelchair. But gradually what happened was his swallow was going.
Okay.
And he wasn't able to really swallow properly. He was coughing a lot. And he, like, he couldn't really do an awful lot for himself. Yeah. But was still able to feed himself and all,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then just over the past, like you see on Christmas Day, like obviously I'm the only girl, so they come to my house for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And on Christmas Day, he wasn't able to feed himself at all. Like right, I had okay. to mash all the food up for him and feed him. And on Christmas Day, I thought, like, the one thing Daddy'd always said to me was, please promise me you'll never put me in a nursing home. And okay. on Christmas Day, I thought, I think I'm going to have to break that promise. And me and the two brothers had talked about it. We were like, you know, it's probably coming quite soon because mommy's 74.
Okay.
And it was very, very stressful for her. Like, you know, yeah. it was hard for us all, but for her, she was living with it 24/7. Like, mm-hmm. she was getting out of her bed in the morning, not knowing what she was going to find. And yeah. there was this fear hanging over her the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, and to be fair, like, at times we're it was tough for her. Yeah, sometimes she would have lost yeah. her temper and stuff. But, and she would have rang me and she'd have been like, this man's not listening to what I'm telling him. And I'd have been like, oh, mommy, he doesn't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
He does understand, but he just can't do what you want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have had to come in to keep the peace. And me and my daddy had just such a lovely relationship, Bruna. Yeah. Like, you know, he just was a wee dote. He just was a wee dote. Like, and I'd have been like, it's your crap at the day. And he'd have been like, crap at the day. And he only ever could say back, you know, what you were saying to him. And I would have been like this here and all behind her back, you know. And he just loved it. Like,
I loved the banter.
He was a character. Like, I would have pulled out up in front of the house and he'd have been sitting in his living room and in his wheelchair just like looking out at me. And I'd have been sitting like this, you know, giving him the thumbs up, and he wouldn't have responded at all.
Okay.
But you see, if I went like this, straight away he was giving the fingers back. And you know what? Like, he just was such a wee fighter.
A wee character.
He's just he really was a wee dote. And the night that I miscarried, me and him had a conversation in the car. He couldn't say an awful lot, but he could say yes and no. And I said to him, Daddy, have you had enough? And he said, yeah. He was just exhausted. And that was in September.
Okay.
And then things were just going downhill constantly. And then he died on the 25th of February.
Okay.
And for about 3 weeks before that, he took pneumonia. He took a chest infection. And then at the end up, what happened was, like, we had been, like, my cousin was looking after him as well. She's a nurse and she was fantastic with him. And she had explained to us what would happen, you know, that his colour would start to change.
Yeah, okay.
And that eventually his feet would start to go cold, and you know that's whenever things are coming soon. And on the Thursday morning before I died, I was supposed to be doing an assessment for college, and my lecturer was like, look, Selena, just go with your daddy. I was like, right, okay. So I went down and was with him, and my cousin said, like, and she would never catastrophize. She's very, very level-headed. Yeah. She was like, look, I think this could be it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And this had been going on for so long, Bruna, where we were like,
back
could
and
be
forth.
It, it could be it, it could be it. We were exhausted. Like, we were just so drained, and we were ready. And then on the Thursday, his colouring was changing, but nothing else was happening.
Okay.
And he was still, like, real laboured breathing. And then at the end up, so on the Friday morning, so we were all still staying at the house at that time and sitting with him, because nobody wanted him to die on his own.
No.
And then on the Friday, at about, I would say, maybe about 3:45, his breathing changed massively.
Okay.
And one of the brothers was away, so I got my husband to ring him and say, look, you need to come in because things are changing here. And my sister-in-law was away, and she then rushed to get back home again. But you know what, Bruna? He died at 4:20.
Okay.
And we were all with him. But, like, I cannot even tell you how beautiful it was.
Okay.
Like, I've never really thought about death and how it would happen. But, like, for somebody that went through for, like, 3 weeks of real, like, laboured breathing, at the end of all I can say, like, it was just, like, wee angel breaths.
Okay.
It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was like watching somebody going from one world into another. It was just, it was a privilege to be there. And just to sit there. We were all with him. And do you know what? Like, that, we were very lucky that we got that moment. Aye. Like, my mummy was supposed to have a doctor's appointment that day, and it ended up being cancelled, which is just as good, because she would have missed it.
Missed it, yeah.
But like, literally, I can't even describe how beautiful it was.
Yeah,
it was like literally just like the smallest wee breaths, and then they gradually, there was a longer pause gradually between each one, and then
has that give you comfort?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Like I said, you know, I've said to loads of people, I put up with the 3 weeks again, the horrific 3 weeks again, just to see
them moments.
That it was so peaceful for him, you know. And like a lot of people have said to me, and you know what, Bruna, it mm-hmm. could hit me in mm-hmm. 3 months' time, could hit me in 6 months' time. But at the moment, I feel like I'm good with things. I feel like as if we had a lovely relationship and we both knew where we were with things. Like I knew that he possibly didn't want to be here anymore.
What age was he when he passed then?
Daddy was 73, so he would have been 74 the Sunday after.
Yeah.
So it was his birthday last Sunday.
Yeah.
And me and him just had a lovely relationship. It was like we had a real tight bond. He knew where I was in life and I knew where he was. And like there was things that happened throughout his illness. Like, you know, I mean, he became incontinent and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's not nice for any father to see his daughter like having to deal with things like that. But we done it, and we done it in the best possible way. And he appreciated it, and I appreciated that I could do it. So I think knowing that I done them things for him, and knowing that he was happy for me to do it, and probably knowing that he didn't really want to be here anymore, it has, and even seeing his death has given me so much
comfort
with it. Like
I feel like his suffering's over,
and that, like, whenever Serena had said about, you know, you wouldn't let a dog die like that, like there was at a point I was getting really angry. I was like, there has to be another way, like, just give him something to let him go. But we think like he was holding off for something. I don't know, one of his carers had went off with COVID, and I mean Daddy was ready for dying like a week before, and then she came back, and to see him after she had got the all clear from COVID, and then there, I think there was maybe a brother that he was waiting to see, but whenever he knew that brother wasn't coming, then within a couple of hours that was it.
Yeah,
he was gone. Like, I think he was holding off for somebody or something, but whenever it was all, because they say your hearing's the last thing to go. So whenever we explained all that to him, like, and obviously he was still hearing us, like, he's, you know, even at the end up, you know, when it was so funny, because we kept thinking, right, this is it, and then he would have breathed again. We were like, this is him taking the piss out of us for one last time, you know, because he was a wee character. But
you know, see, you know what you've went through there through the start of lockdown, you know, and with the baby loss and with the miscarriage, and, you know, and now losing your daddy, you know, you've had a hell of a journey for the past nearly 2 years throughout this lockdown. Do you know, and it shows that, do you know, with you giving the support now back to the baby loss support, and, you know, and you can see your strength to strength to strength. You know your daddy's always going to be there in your heart, because, you know, you've seen, you know, is death, and, you know, and, you know, the way you just, I've never had anybody come on to describe it like that. To me, it's absolutely beautiful that you got to witness that. Like, that's absolutely amazing that you got to.
I just feel so privileged and so blessed that we did get to see that, because, you know, there's so many families out there, and I've had clients whose people have died during COVID and they didn't get to see them. And a lot of deaths aren't like that. But we were very fortunate that his was just, it was just beautiful. It was lovely. And, you know, I wouldn't wish that, I couldn't have wished for anything else for him, you know.
100%.
It was so nice. You know,
and
that does give you,
definitely,
so much comfort, you know.
Selena, thank you so, so much. That was beautiful. So was that, you know, I was,
I feel like
the end,
I
was absolutely beautiful, but it was not, you were absolutely amazing, and, you know, you are one hell of a gear, and I was telling you, you are definitely are.
I don't know about that, but I don't know.
You definitely have, and all that's amazing. Thank you so, so much.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. And there was no tears. I wasn't expecting that.